included with your executive report, director's report, which you just gave, there was also some reports from the different districts. Some of that information you included in your report as well. So both, I'm assuming, will be attached to the meeting minutes.
Correct.
For everyone to be able to read through.
Just for clarification, do you want me to put it as one document and my report not to be there?
I think I'm indifferent. That is the way that Pearl had done it in the past. It was one document.
Right.
I guess I don't have a preference. Does anybody have a preference?
Long as they're both there.
Yeah. Okay. I was
their title as to what they are, maybe it might be easier for people to access if they want, if it's had certain different titles. You know, one would be the report and one would be the agency reports or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's how I put it. One's executive director report and the other one agency.
Right.
Staff report. Okay.
Okay. All right. Yeah, we'll just find the way you did it. Okay. Well, with that then, we're a few minutes ahead of the game. So do we have, I guess we move right along and we'll in case we run long someplace else, do we have a budget biennium update in addition to what you've shared so far?
Not really. Bill, it's the same that we provided again by the beginning of mm-hmm. the state fiscal year. That's the biennium. So it hasn't changed. I think what I want to tell you is that in general, we're still spending more money that we can afford. So we continue to work on cutting things around.
Okay.
Okay. But Bill, is there anything you want to add or any questions for the
Not really. I think everybody's probably heard a little bit about state budget issues. And my only report to that is we haven't heard anything official from folks down there. There's really no rumors going around quite yet. We do meet with our budget analyst on the 13th, I believe it is. Carlos and I and Carol are going to meet with her, probably we'll learn a little bit more at that time.
So if I heard Carlos correctly, we are currently spending at a rate that we can't afford.
That's correct. That's correct. We have accumulated over the years. Some carryover
right.
funds, extra, I shouldn't say we accumulated more than we could pay for, or we accumulated more than we spent. And we are going to be fine for a while, but that balance is moving its way down.
Sure.
And it's moving its way down fairly quickly. But Carlos and the supervisors and Carol, they've been working pretty hard. We've been talking about this, you know, since we got the extra money, quite frankly,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, this was always a possibility. And so they're kind of employing all of that and working on slowing the train down just a little bit.
So what's being specifically affected, the slowdown now, and where it'll slow down to?
Well, you know, quite frankly, our grants right now are about $4.2 million. We bring in probably $500,000 worth of Social Security money. That's not guaranteed, but generally we bring in more than that, so we try to be fairly conservative about all of that. Now last year we spent almost $6 million, but we put AWARE in place, and that will save us money from what the E-Force program was costing us. That should save us probably in the neighborhood of $30,000 to $40,000 a year. And so while we spent $500,000, it was an investment in the future, and it puts us in a much better position. And we've been doing that with some of our vending programs. Not only have we been expanding the vending sites, if you will, we've been replacing machines so that we have newer machines out there, so that, because again, that was part of the objective when we took on this additional money, was that we were going to put our infrastructure in position so that when things got lean, and we knew they would at some point, we would be best prepared for that.
Okay. So some of these, as we're stating that we're spending a little bit more than we can reasonably sustain long term right now.
Right.
Some of those expenditures are one time expenditures that to better position us for those leaner times. So replacing older equipment to minimize maintenance costs, replacing or purchasing some additional equipment. And when I say equipment, I'm thinking vending equipment, to expand those services while we have the opportunity to do it now. But some of those types of activities, some of those vending expansion projects, as money starts to get a little tighter, we might not be able to explore as many of those as we can possibly now or have in the past.
That's correct, and we've been investing a lot in service training and training our staff and getting them the finest, the best knowledge, if you will, to carry on their jobs in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Carlos and Carol, as soon as we found out about the reallotment thing, certainly they have kind of reprioritized some of those kinds of issues. That doesn't mean we don't do anything anymore, but certainly we're cutting back a little bit on some of those kinds of issues, and so we're working pretty hard to reposition ourselves. We didn't add a big bunch. When we received these reallotment funds, we didn't hire a lot of staff. We didn't go out and expand our offices.
Right.
We did renegotiate a number of leases, and we looked at some things, but again, we kept in the back of our minds that reallotment funds are year to year, and when you get them, it's a 25% in those years, in most of the years, those have been a nice 25% boost, and that's a significant amount of money. But we've always kept in mind that this was, again, year to year. We have accumulated a little bit of that, and that's what's getting us through right now, is that we're going to be, we'll be, last year, our carryover funds lasted us until, I think it was pretty close to the middle of August. This year, our carryover funds are going to last us until somewhere around the 1st of April, 1st of May. And so we're working on trying to slow all that down as best we can. And we haven't received Social Security at this point, so again, that's still another variable, if you will, and we're trying to manage.
Okay, so would it be fair to say, so things like sending staff to programs like the National Rehabilitation Leadership Institute might be reconsidered?
Correct, it's already
okay.
Reconsidered, yeah.
Okay,
we sent already all of them except Carrie, who is new, but mm-hmm. we'll have to wait.
Okay. Okay.
Are there any concerns with state match dollars? Are we still okay
we're
with
okay,
hitting our state?
We're okay.
And the additional funds for independent living, we've got those?
Yep, it's helping, yep.
Okay.
I'm excited to see in the, I don't believe you mentioned in your executive report, but in the other one, there were some comments in there about having some discussions with the Lions Club about some funding for older blind training programs, and working with them as sounded like that might be as one way that you're trying to be creative to.
See. Yeah, one of the things that we were doing too was investing a lot on equipment for older blind.
Yeah.
We couldn't spend too much time training them.
Right.
But we don't have the money, so we had to slow down in that too.
Right.
So hopefully the Lions Club can help us with some of that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
And so would that be on a state level, or like the Lions Club in, say, Alliance might help with somebody out there?
Yeah, usually it's locally, and then okay. We can use it as a pilot project somewhere else. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So a little off topic, have we found a successor for Bill?
No.
Is there someone?
We haven't got the approval yet.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about, that there is some bureaucratic
okay.
obstacles.
Oh,
and
gotcha.
Hopefully get an answer by next week. The goal was to announce the job, or advertise for the job in December at the most. Well, end of November, that's what I would like to do.
Yeah.
And hire somebody in December.
So
good
what?
Luck finding somebody for his job.
We'll find
yeah.
there'll be plenty of applicants, I'm sure.
Well, I hope so.
One other quick question on talking about on the vending program stuff, buying new pop machines vending machines to replace other machines. Where, since we own the machines, where do the old ones go? Do they take them on trade-in and give us pennies on a dollar for them, or what happens to them, just out of curiosity?
They are surplus, generally. Don does use some of them for parts. To help with some of the other older machines. We have to work through state surplus with their blessings, and many of those things, quite frankly, after Don gets done with them, state surplus tells us to take them out to the scrap metal folks. And
they sell a lot of them.
Yeah, and they do sell. Yeah, they do sell.
Some antiques.
Now, that's actually a great question, Chad. It makes me think about it. At the university, when my department has things that we need to, that we're ready to dispose of, that we don't have a use for anymore, we have the same requirement that we send it to the university's surplus, and they hold their own auction and get rid of it. But and there's certainly things that we could care less about, and that we just send there. But there is a mechanism, whereas if we have something that has a lot of value still, but we don't have a need for it any longer, there is a way that we're able to sell that and recoup the funds instead of just giving it away. Because when something's sold on auction at the university, the department doesn't get those funds back. They go someplace else. And is there any value to these machines, and is there a method through the state where that can be done?
Do we get money for it?
Well, the surplus, when they go to auction, we recoup some of the money
you
the
do.
Machine makes.
Okay.
And the state surplus director, Dave McGuire, he will basically tell us if a machine is in good enough condition that he can even sell it, and if it's not, he'll have us send it to Alter Scrap, and then we get money from the metal.
Okay.
From the scrap metal, we get money back from it. So the money comes back. It's not all the money. They have to keep some of it for their fee. You know.
Right,
yeah.
But we get a good probably 75% of it.
Yeah,
okay.
There's a 9% or I think a 7% auction fee.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we do, they do auction a number of those machines off, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, that makes me feel a lot better. That is not the way that it works at the university. We don't get that money back.
Now, I will tell you this. We have generally taken that money and put it back into our grant funds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure that our federal grant partners would like the methodology that we probably use for doing that. That money is supposed to go back to the grant in which the machine was bought. Now, quite frankly, those grants, again, a lot of those machines are 25 years old. Those grants are long gone. Mm-hmm. And the proceeds are not a huge amount of money. And so at this point, the auditors have never made a real big deal out of it. But that is, we still do get those proceeds. We put them into the cash fund, and then we do utilize it.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't think a old pop machine would bring more than $200-$300 anyway, and then if you're getting 75% of that, I mean, compared to everything else, it's kind of pennies, you know?
Yeah. And that's kind of the scenario.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, I was just curious personally to know where all that stuff went.
Absolutely.
When we replaced it, so.
So one little trivial thing, maybe it's trivia, I think. So what is the name of the individual that's going to take Connie Carlos's place?
Carol Jenkins?
No.
Olson, right?
Stephanie.
Well, the only reason I said that, of course, there's S-O-N's and S-E-N's, and it's Olson's. That would be the second Olson I can think of that's worked for the commission. And the individual I'm speaking of that was here for a while is the guy that wrote, you know, the book and the encounter, Carl Olson. So just super trivia.
Might be related.
All right. Well, if there's no other questions, thank you, Bill, for that, and Carlos. Move on to public comment here. Is there anybody who would like to seek the floor?
Yep.
Okay. Got your name, Jim. Anyone else? All right.
Oh, God.
Jim, you're up.
All right. I will speak up. I don't need a mic, what have you. A concern or a suggestion I have going forward regarding the concluded hiring practice undertaken to fill Pearl's job. And I want to state in the outset this is not a reflection on the individual that has been hired to replace Pearl. That should be put on the table to begin with. I think it was back in June I had suggested or kind of encouraged the body to look at hiring an outside consultant to aid in the process of hiring an executive director. I realize that we have that hiring an executive director for the agency is something that is not done on a frequent basis, thank goodness. You know, Nyman was here for several years, Pearl. And now we have Carlos, and Carlos, you're doing a good job so far from what I can see. At the time, I suggested that a hiring consultant probably had a lot more wisdom in reaching out to various avenues and sources, probably more so and had a little bit more knowledge in this area than, frankly, the board does. And that's not an insult to the board, that's just how I see it. I understand that there were, you know, some applications received. I forget exactly the number, and I know that there were three interviewed. And I'm assuming out of those three that you folks hired the best candidate, and I hope that's the case. I would suggest, you know, and I realize nobody will be on the board when the next time we do this, assuming Carlos doesn't leave on Tuesday. I would encourage the board next time there is an opening in the process or in the executive director position to consider hiring an outside consultant. It's okay to spread word of mouth via listservs and what have you. You might get a lot more qualified candidates. Not saying these candidates were qualified. You might get a lot more qualified candidates and have a bigger pool to choose from rather than the small amount that you had. So just a suggestion going forward. So.
Okay. All right. We did. I apologize, Jim. I'm just trying to think how I wanted to respond to your comment, and just trying to make sure I can. Share what I was going to say. I think we have gotten some feedback from some individuals we've gotten some feedback from some individuals about why we didn't get as many. We have asked some questions because we thought we would get more applicants than we did. I can't remember the number right now. Was it 14 or
14?
14. It was 14. Okay.
We interviewed 3, I know.
That was on purpose. We intended to interview the cream of the crop and,
right.
and limit that down to 3 or 4.
They were the only ones that had rehab background at all. Nobody else did.
We limited it to those people that we thought were the top candidates, but we were asking some questions about why. Because even the Office of State Personnel thought initially that, oh, you'll probably get about 40 applicants. Mm-hmm. And we have gotten some feedback from as to why the number was as small as it was. And one of them was, I guess, the specialty of the job. I mean, it's more than just hiring a director. It's a director with a specific background, a specific skill, not just working, specific experiences in rehab, not just somebody who is a government official. And it was, you know, so some of the comments that we've gotten back, even from state personnel in hindsight, that. It was such a specialized job that it was difficult to get more than what we got. And there was a few other things that played into that as well, but certainly a consultant might have gotten us some more. I'm not sure that it would have, but it certainly could have. I guess we don't know the outcome of that. So.
And I guess the other thing I want to mention very quickly, then I'll shut up. I just hope that. I just hope the best qualified candidate was hired, and it was based on qualifications and not personal wants and needs of the board for the person who was hired.
I can assure you that was the case.
Okay, that's all I wanted to hear.
Hands down, and I guess I don't want to speak for the rest of the board, but if anybody would disagree with me, but yes, absolutely, hands
good.
Down, I think that's absolutely right. The case.
And as I recall, it was a unanimous decision.
It was.
Okay.
Yes.
It just for another little dynamic, as at least I did some inquiries around the blindness community, and because there are some other blind folks out there that are in rehab backgrounds, so they're presently in positions mm-hmm. you know, similar to what's found here. That anyway, so the word was that they knew Carlos would be going for it. That they suspected they would, and because of their respect for him, because of what their feelings are about, you know, his good work is. It's just okay. The type of guy he is that they didn't think they'd have a chance, so they didn't even try for it.
Okay.
Out of respect for Carlos's record.
All right. So, the other question I have is what happened to the report from the executive from the board chair? That was not on the agenda.
Right. We took it out.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah. Not a big deal. Just curious.
Yep. That was actually a meeting discussion. Earlier in the year, it got left on the agenda in July, but it was supposed to have been removed at prior to that meeting, actually.
Okay.
So,
all right, fine.
Yep. Okay. All right. With that, then, let's see here. Break time. If everybody could be back here by 11:20, that'd be great.
Great. Okay.